There's a graph. If you look at it, and you look at it for a short time, it can look confusing. I did not like geometry, or basic math was okay, but get beyond that, I wasn't really keen on that kind of stuff. But if you look at it for a little bit and just follow it a little bit, you find that the Father is up on the left, the Son is up on the right, and in the middle, it says the Father is not the Son. Then down on the bottom, you have the Holy Spirit, and between the Father and the Holy Spirit, you have is not. The Father is not the person of the Holy Spirit. And between the Son and the Holy Spirit, you have is not. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. And yet in the middle, you have they all are God. They all are God. In the Christian culture, the Christian doctrine, we know the Trinity. You talk to somebody outside the Christian doctrine, you talk to the world or any of the other cults, it sounds like who's on first, what's on second, who's on third? I don't know who's on third. I had a wonderful friend. I've told you this before. She taught Sunday school in a certain denomination, a Methodist denomination at the time. She had taught for 30 plus years. And then once a couple of Jehovah Witnesses came and she invited them in. And next thing you know, they were asking her questions, does this make sense? Does it make sense? That when Jesus is praying, is he praying to himself? That was the one that got her. No, he's not praying to himself. He's praying to the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. I've come to do all his works. He came out of heaven, was manifested in Jesus Christ, the living Logos. Now, a simple question is, do you understand it? And the answer is, and it's okay to say, no, I don't. It's okay to say it. I don't understand it. But you better believe it. See, his ways are above our ways. So there's going to be some things we don't understand. He is the one true only God. If I told you that he was the only one God that lived for all of eternity, we would say, well, what's he been doing for the last 700 billion years? I don't know. How can he be the only one? And we don't know more than what we know. It says that it is the glory of God to hide a thing. It is the glory of kings and his people to find them out. Do your best. But you're not going to figure it out. Just ask Job. You get to the end of Job. He's basically saying, I didn't understand you. I am so sorry. You're darkening my counsel, Job. I am so sorry. I spoke out of turn. I don't get you. It's okay. It is okay. But do you believe what, and he's going to say, do you believe what I said? Yes. And people will look at you like that is stupid. There I go using that term again. But that's the truth, isn't it? You guys are cheap. Yes, he's the shepherd. It's okay to be sheep. We're not him. Who else do we expect to be? How smart do we expect to be? It's okay. But he's not going to leave us this way. He's going to help us understand his ways. He's going to help us understand who he is. And by the way, as Jesus said, who else shall, I mean, Christ, Peter said, who else shall we turn to? Who else are we going to for answers? Are you going to anybody else? Those two people that come up to the door and say, do you understand this? Are you going to follow them? No. We're going to understand the best we can. I want to remind you, again, I've said this recently, but I just need to remind you again. The number one thing to look out for in Christianity, and especially toward the end of days, is deception. That's what Jesus led off with. Let no one deceive you. Okay, Lord, but it's heavy and I don't understand and I'm tempted and it's hard pressed. And these people, they seem really smart and they seem like they got really good gifts. And let no one deceive you. Okay, Lord, I'm going to read your Bible. We're going to go to a Bible-believing church. That's why we're called a Bible church. We're going to a Bible-believing church. And we're going to stay away from deception because we know this. If we build this church, if we build, try to build God's church, it's not God's church, it's ours. And you got to come up with some kind of doctrine and you got to keep adding to it and tickling ears and drawing people in, make more money. We got to, you know, drive this machine, right? We got to drive it because we made it up. But when it's God's, you just do the work. You just read, obey, study, use your gifts, love one another, do the work. It's his bus. It's his boat. It's his machine. It's his church. So, and the worst kind, really, is this satanic deception where somebody comes into the church and they say, okay, wow, this looks good, but boy, we could add a little bit to it. Let's just add a little bit to that. Let's kind of give this a different nuance. And what does it really mean to be baptized in the Spirit? And let me show you what it looks like. And boy, you can get all this. I mean, we can have all this kind of power. And that's the worst kind. And Satan, and actually, it's the best kind to change the church. It's the best kind to weasel in and change the church because Satan did it. Did it to Eve? Tried to do it to Jesus. If he used it on the Son of God, he's going to use it on us. And he has, hasn't he? He has. We want success, don't we? We want to succeed. Let me show you. Joshua 1:7, which we've been going through on Wednesday nights. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all, according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, anybody wants success? And we say, okay, please define success. Well, you have this success in your family, success in your business. And who like drives the train there? Like whoever owns the company, right? And the parents drive the train in the family. And they have goals and they have strategies. Hopefully they're godly. We want them to be godly. But they're responsible for that business and that family and all that stuff, okay? But when we're talking about God's house, who's in charge? Well, whose success do we want? We want the success according to his strategy, his goals, his rules, and his rewards. You want what he has for you. Okay? You want what he has for you. And there are corporate gifts like salvation, the Holy Spirit. There are things, love, all these kind of things. But then there are individual gifts as well. You must believe that he is, and he rewards those who serve him, who seek him. You want what he has for you. And if you're here and you don't, it's a lack of faith, number one. Number two, it's a little naive. We really want what he has for us. I want what he has for me. I don't know what it all is. And if we go on saying, well, I really don't want that, or I'd rather have something else, we've got a problem. We just want to say, we want what he has for us. He sets the goals. He sets the targets. He establishes the goals and the strategies. And we say, okay, Lord, tell us how. Show us how. Glorify your name. Help us to worship your son. Let us know how to do that. What do you want for this church? What do you want for me? I want success. Okay? Again, we want to throw out so much of the Bible. We want to kind of throw out the law, you know. Did you know that Jesus loved every word of the law? The longest book in the Bible is Psalm 19. I love your precepts. I love your law. I love your statutes. I love your commandments. Over and over and over. Now, we know that we can't fulfill them. So Jesus came and died because we can't fulfill them. And he fulfilled them because he loved them. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He loved the Father. He kept his commandments. So he becomes our righteousness. So if we talk about adultery, if we talk about, you know, coveting, if we talk about stealing, we say, well, we don't do those because I love God. Do you not do those to get saved? No. I love God and I'm going to do what he wants. That's success in my family. That's success in my church. It's success. We're reconciled to him. But now, I need help. Don't we need help? Because my mind still wanders. Your mind wander. And your flesh kind of go, oh, I sure like to have that. Or look at that. Or do that. Or be with that person. Or you know what we're going. It's the flesh. And Satan. And the world. Those are three of your enemies. Principalities of power of the air. We need help. I need to know the way. I need to know the truth, and I need to walk in it. Now we can say, okay, I read the Bible, and I read the Bible, and I still, you know, boom. And you've talked to people. Have you ever talked to a person who's not a Christian yet read the Bible? And they say, well, yeah, I see what the Bible says. You know, there's some presidents who've done that, and they've cut large portions out of it because they didn't like it. You know, I read the whole thing. I've read it several times. I still don't get it. I don't like the Old Testament, on and all this kind of stuff. You can read this, but if you do not read it with help, that's what we're talking about. We still need help. This is the truth. Walk ye in it. 3 John, John says in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And then he says in verse 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness, that's the lie, that's falsehoods, that's a cult, that's whatever it is. If we walk in darkness, we're lying. We lie, he says, and we do not practice the truth. So I need help to walk in this truth. And Jesus, the law and everything is saying, listen, you couldn't do it. You could not do it without Jesus. And you can't do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. You cannot. And yet the church has abused him more than anybody. God, Jesus Christ himself as well. We use God's name all the time. A football player has become famous because he uses God's name. And then he goes out and blasphemes his name. We can use God's name all we want. But if we don't have the Son and the Holy Spirit, we're lost. We're spitting in the wind. We need this triune God to walk in the salvation that we've been given. You see, when God saved you, the work, the wonderful work, had only begun. When Jesus said it was finished, then that rolls the ball where you can be saved, the Spirit will come, he will fill you, and now life begins. The woman at the well again. This water will come rushing up. And it will be joy unspeakable and full of glory if you follow his ways. Now it's a trail, It's a life of trial and trail. Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Lord, you just said I'm going to have tribulation. I can't really smile over that. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. At some point, things are going to change. And they have already changed if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Gary even prayed this morning. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. He will teach and understand and help us understand. He will help us teach and he will help us understand. That's his work. So to our text, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. See, there's the work. That's the hard part. You know, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I went back home. And in Oregon, if it's in the spring and summer, even in the mornings, if it's sunny, it's like on the coast, okay? Because you always got this morning fog and drizzle and whatever. And I woke up the next morning and it was sunshining, like early. And I'm thinking, wow, this is like a new day. And wow, this is just going to be fantastic. And I get up and I go about my business. And all of a sudden, like, I don't know if it was that day or the next, I was on my face. Like, wait a minute. I thought that life was going to be different. Like there was not going to be any more sin, any more problems, any more. See, what a lie, right? And that's the kind of stuff you say, see, things didn't change, so why don't I just go have fun? Why don't I go get drunk and I'll forget all this stuff? And why don't I go have what I want or who what I want, right? No. No, in this world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. So the Lord kept me going. It wasn't me. I was in a disastrous situation. And the Lord kept me going by the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the church. We need his help. So if you love me, keep my commandments. Get walking, get moving. You're going to have success, he tells Joshua. Here's your success. And if you love me and keep my commandments, he says to this, I will ask the Father. And he will give you another helper to be with you. Oh, wait a minute now. We've got three persons on our side right away. You feel like you're against the world, like everybody's against you, like you're all alone. Yeah, ask Elijah, right? You're all by yourself. And all of a sudden, you have three people, one God, three persons on your side. You don't need anybody else. It's okay to have the church. You've got the church. That's a good thing. You actually need the church. But, you know, some individual or whatever, somebody who says they've got some kind of answer for you, you don't need it. You have everything you need for life and godliness, Peter says. If you died today without bread and water, you got God. You don't need bread and water. To live in this life, yes. But not to live. Not to be successful, you don't even need bread and water because you have the bread of life. So, Jesus, you died for me. I love you. Okay. He goes to the Father, says, Father, help them. Okay. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So they're both sending the Holy Spirit. They're both in the one, you know, thought pattern there. We're going to send the helper. He's going to be with you for just a little while. He's going to help you through this life, right? No, he's going to be with you forever. Forever. You don't have, somebody passes away. Your best friend passes away. Your mom and dad pass away. All this stuff passes away. You still have God. You have God. Now, we want other people. We need the church and those kind of things. But I'm just going to say this. You don't need anybody. You don't need any one individual. You need God. If he gives you somebody else, fantastic. All right? Elijah has Elisha and vice versa. Okay? We like friends. I like, you know, you guys. And I want you guys. But we need God. So he says, he's with you forever. And watch this now. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. That, in other words, they don't see him, and they don't see him in the Bible, and they don't know him intimately like you and I do. You know him, for he dwells with you and in you. He is in a believer. I just got to jump here. Does he ever come out? Like, wait a minute, you just left. Yeah, I can tell by the way I feel right now. By the way you feel? I can tell by this rotten thought that I just had. He left you? Right? No. No, because once you have him, he's the promised seal. The promised seal. He comes and puts a lead lid on your heart. Nobody else can get in or out. It is eternally sealed. You know him, for he dwells with you and in you, and he dwells with you and will be in you. So then when we say, you know, I really don't know him. I don't know him. Well, we'll get to that. Read the Bible, all those kinds of things. We say, well, I really don't know. This goes back to the belief thing. I don't get it. How is there somebody living inside me? I don't understand it. Okay, that's fine. You don't need to. Believe it. We're going to get to evidence next week. Okay? We're going to talk about evidence of this baptism of the Holy Spirit. Today we're talking about what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is it? Next week, evidence. John 15:26. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. He's going to teach you about Jesus. The first thing he's going to do, I'm just going to say, the first evidence you know that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, see, I'm already getting ahead of myself. The first evidence is you believe in his Son. You believe in Jesus Christ. I believe. Wholeheartedly, I'm all in. You know, at that point, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Just believe. Believe it. The help is on the way by the Holy Spirit. The number one thing that the Holy Spirit does is guide you into truth. Besides sealing you, the number one thing that he does ongoing in your life is to guide you into truth. So I'm going to do something right now that I've just determined I'm going to do. We're going to do this because I think that we need to pay honor to him. And before we go any further in talking about this third person, we're going to pray for his help. All right? So I want you to bow your head with me, and I want you to think about him and the promise that he said, that Jesus said he would do, this third person will do. And that's what we want. Bow your heads, please. Lord, we love you and worship you, Father. Thank you so much for sending your Son to die on the cross and forgiving us of our sins through our belief and faith in him. Now I want to ask for forgiveness for that part of the church who has abused any part of the Trinity, but today especially the Holy Spirit has walked on the idea of the third person, you, the power that comes from God, this person. And Holy Spirit, we apologize on behalf of the church for this abuse. But now we want to know the truth. And you will guide us. It's promised to us that you will guide us into all truth. So going forward, through the next several lessons about you, and I know that you glorify the Father and the Son, but we need to know who you are. We ask you, Lord God, to help us understand you so that we will pray right, read right, walk right, and love right before you and before man. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. There's a whole lot more in the New Testament written about, and especially the whole Bible, about God, about the Creator God, about God the Father, God, again, even Yahweh, you know, there's all kinds of words, El Shaddai, Adonai, all kinds of Old Testament words, but when we throw out this term God, And I'm thinking, well, do we need a triune God? Or we talk about the Father? Or we talk about the Creator? Or we talk about, you know, He has a Son? So we know a lot about the Father and the Creator and the Son. Of course, we know a lot about Jesus. And we know, actually, if Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So if you look at the way Jesus talked, the way He walked, the way He acted, you've seen how the Father acts and what He wants as well. Okay? But Jesus said He was going away. I'm going away. And I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and He will glorify the Father and the Son. He will testify about me. Now, so because there's not as much written about the Holy Spirit, and remember, the Spirit is mentioned lots in the Old Testament, but your Holy Spirit, you know, as the person is only mentioned, I think, three times in the Old Testament. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit is mentioned quite a bit in the New Testament, but still not near as much as Jesus, of course, and not as much as the Father. So when we're not careful, all of a sudden we say, well, see, it doesn't say that about the Holy Spirit, so I can say what I want. I can come up with what this means. I can tell you what the Holy Spirit is. And because of generations of the church not understanding this, we can go off the rails. And many have. So the number one thing He's going to do, He does, is He takes the Word and He leads us into truth. And sinful man wants to turn God's things upside down, and they want to covet Him. They want to covet his things. They want to covet the power of God. They make money off of it. They build their doctrines and their kingdoms. We don't want to do that. We want to stay on task. In Acts chapter 8, remember that the fledgling church has just gotten going, and the disciples, I'm going to lay this foundation right now here for you. The disciples are teaching the church about the Holy Spirit. They have no clue who He is. None. They have no clue. They've already heard about Jesus. He's been preaching for 3.5 years. There's one verse that says they had the doctrine of Jesus Christ, or they believed in Jesus Christ, but they didn't know who the Holy Spirit was. So the disciples were to go out. They had the authority to go out and to preach and teach about the Holy Spirit. That's what Acts is about. That's what really the Acts is about. Preaching the name of Jesus, understanding the will of the Father, and filling the church with His Holy Spirit. And it had to come through order and discipline and truth. So the Spirit comes, and He's going to testify about Jesus, and He's going to testify about the Father, and He's going to guide us. Okay? And so in Acts chapter 8, you have, remember Simon? And they saw, now it doesn't even mention tongues here, okay? And that's going to be key. We're going to talk about that. But in Acts chapter 8, the disciples come and they lay their hands on people and the Holy Spirit comes, right? Now, how do we know it comes? Because the Bible says. It doesn't say they all spoke in tongues there in chapter 8. It doesn't say anything like that. So we need to be careful in saying, well, now wait a minute. And then going somewhere and say, well, that's how you know. That's not how you know. You know because the Bible says. And in Acts chapter 8, they laid their hands on people and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And Simon saw something. And what did he say? Give me this power. Oh, wait a minute. Don't you want the Spirit? You know what he was asking for? Give me this power so that when I go around laying my hands on somebody, they can get the Spirit. So you want the power to give the power? You want to lay your hands on somebody so that they can have the Holy Spirit? Buddy, go sell, you know, trinkets somewhere else. That's basically kind of what Peter said. You're out of your mind. You see, Simon wanted power. Simon wanted the gifts of God and not the person of God. We have to have the person of God. I want the persons. I want God to live in my heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit himself. And then, when that happens, evidence next week, the power of God manifests himself out of you. He changes what your hands want to do. Your mind wants to think. He moves, Philippians says. It is he who wills and does in you. Lord, I want to do that. Except I love you, so I'm going to do that. Lord, I'd rather do that. But since you say don't do that, I'm not going to do that. He changed your thoughts. You didn't have any of that power. You didn't even have those thoughts before you became a Christian. Simon wanted the power. We want the person. I want the person of the Holy Spirit living in my heart. Success. Success. So now just a caveat. Paul says desire the greater gifts. So God wants us to have gifts. And he wants us to have them in order. But remember, you got to love God and then desire his gifts. Remember, you got to believe that he is and rewards those who seeks him. So he's going to give you gifts and he's going to do those kinds of things. But you want him. I want the Holy Spirit in my life. The new apostolic reformation movement and other movements on the planet is the most demonic thing that's come along in a very long time. And they talk about success here, success in your business, success in your family life, success in your there, to do this, to do that. And here's the doctrine of this. And they talk about the gifts and the principles of God, and they claim the Holy Spirit, but they're not talking biblically. Be careful of what you hear. Be careful of loud organs and people dancing across the stages. Be careful of loud music and all that other kind of stuff. And what they say, be like men of Issachar. Be men who knew the scriptures. Read the scriptures. So after every awakening of God, Satan moves in and he counterfeits right away. Right away. I don't know what you want from God, but what I'm saying is you want him. Above everything else, you want him and then what he has for you. Now, just a reminder, you can't have one without the other. The Spirit guides you. He fills you. He changes your mind. We're redeemed through Jesus Christ, the person who gave his life. And the Father God is telling us how to live through these two people. So we're going to use the Word to understand the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, the living Logos of God. And the Holy Spirit is going to guide us. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Now watch. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In Colossians 1:16, for by him and all things were created, in him, in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In Colossians 1, it says that Jesus was there in the beginning, everything was created through him and by him, he's the Word of God. God himself, the Father, was there as the volition and the will, this is what he wanted done. And the power of God, his Holy Spirit, is the one that created things. You've got the Trinity in the beginning, all right? And the Holy Spirit is the power of God in this process. He's the power. He comes and makes it happen. The Spirit makes it happen. He changed your life and he made it happen. And so you should be thanking the Holy Spirit for that. So this also shows, if you will, the tender mercies of God, the hovering over his creation, the hovering over you and I as well, if you will, as well. And it shows his grace and his mercy. So dark becomes light in your life. Dark became light. Death became life. That's what this is telling you. Death became life. Living beings came because God said through the Logos, it came by the power. Nothing became life and light. And in you, we were born again. So that's why it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This is being born again. He's taken your dead life and renewed it, made you born again, and then he rests upon you to live. Now, the Lord is a spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the glory of God, of the Lord, are being transformed into his image with intensifying glory, with intensifying power, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Glory means the manifestations of God. You see God. And we look at ourselves and we say, I don't see nothing except an old man or a big problem. But then ask yourself a question. Do you believe the same way you did 20 years ago? Do you act the same way? Do you love God more? That's only godly. That only comes by the power of God. You're going to see the physical transformation of yourself someday. That'll be fantastic glory. And that's coming. But for now, I believe when I didn't believe. I love when I didn't love. And I am being transformed in the renewing of my mind by the power of the Holy Spirit and his word. So that same power in Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit, who hovered over the darkness there and changed things into life, is working and living within you now, guiding you now. And so turn to him and ask for help in all of your life. This is where the world and the false prophets want to just suck you in. I say, let me show you the power. Let me show you how this is evidenced in it. I've got this power, and I'm going to lay my hands on you, and you're going to have this power. Watch the evidence of this power. Don't run to them. Don't go to them. Don't be sucked in by them. Again, the dancing on the stages and all of these kinds of things. So, in John 1:12, but to all who received him, who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You believe in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and he fills you. Now, we're going to talk about evidence again next week. But that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't get any more of him. The question is, as always been, can he get more of you? Can he get more of you? Will I yield to this person, this power that lives within me? Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of this person. That's as simple as it is. Acts 8:15. They prayed that they might receive the person, the Holy Spirit. And Acts 19:2. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? It's you're receiving a person. We're going to talk about some nuances concerning that. But we're going to finish with this. When you receive the person, he comes with the power. The power is not innate in us. It is not sitting there like a battery. It is not a gift, even a gift that you have without the person. It is not innate. It's not in my nature. It is transcendent. It is from God, from outside of me, and comes to live and dwell within me, this person. And Jesus said, he dwells with you and will be in you. And then he says, the gift of God is irrevocable. You are sealed unto redemption. Ephesians 4:30 and 2 Corinthians 1:22, he's the seal of the guarantee. He's the eternal seal of God. The point is, you get all of him. There's no second need. There's no second blessing where I need to go somewhere and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That is not biblical. We receive the Holy Spirit by becoming children of God and receiving Jesus Christ. You can't separate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:21, if you have one of them, you have them all. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, on and on and on. You have one, you have them all. So we're going to continue this next week and for a while. And to understand what the Holy Spirit, how we receive the Holy Spirit, the evidence of him in the church and in our lives, and how to walk in the way and the truth of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, we know that by our belief in you and the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who gave his life a ransom for many, we know that we have the Father and the Son and the Spirit. So we ask you, Lord, to help us walk in that. Be ye being filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, you tell us. So help us now to walk out of here knowing that you live within me. And you've done it because you willed it to. You've empowered it to us by the faith that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you so much. If anybody here has ever doubted that, Lord, let that mind be changed today. Let their faith be full today, knowing that while we don't understand it, we have you. We have all of you. And we praise you for it and thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.